Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. But the 5 foolish, having taken their lamps, did not take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. And the bridegroom tarrying, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye forth to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." The wise answered, saying, "Lest perhaps there not be enough for us and for you, go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Now whilst they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. But at last come also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answering said, "Amen, I say to you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, because you know not the day nor the hour."
Oh.
Cities hostile and the towns unfriendly and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued, and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this, were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought that they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. The room was suddenly rich, and the great bay window was spawning snow and pink roses against it, soundlessly collateral and incompatible. World is suddener than we fancy it. World is crazier and more of it than we think, incorrigibly plural. I peel and portion a tangerine and spit the pips and feel the drunkenness of things being various. And the fire flames with a bubbling sound, for world is more spiteful and gay than one supposes. on the tongue, on the eyes, on the ears, in the palm of one's hands. There is more than glass between the snow and the huge roses.
Sing ye high, some hand is praising.
A reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was made nothing that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to give testimony of the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but was to give testimony of the light. That was the true light, which enlighteneth every man that cometh into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave them power to be made the sons of God, to them that believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as it were of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. On the stiff twig up there hunches a wet black rook, arranging and rearranging its feathers in the rain. I do not expect a miracle or an accident to set the sight on fire in my eye, nor seek any more in the desultory weather some design. But let spotted leaves fall as they fall without ceremony or portent. Although I admit I desire occasionally some back talk from the mute sky, I can't honestly complain. A certain minor light may still lean incandescent out of kitchen table or chair as if a celestial burning took possession of the most obtuse objects now and then, thus hallowing an interval otherwise inconsequent by bestowing largesse, honor, one might say love. At any rate, I now walk wary, for it could happen, even in this dull, ruinous landscape. Skeptical, yet politic, ignorant of whatever angel any choose to flare suddenly at my elbow, I only know that a rook, ordering its black feathers, can so shine as to seize my senses, haul my eyelids up, and grant a brief respite from fear of total neutrality. With luck, trekking stubborn through this season of fatigue, I shall patch together a content of sorts. Miracles occur, if you care to call those spasmodic tricks of radiance miracles. The wait's begun again, the long wait for the angel, for that rare, random descent.
Oh, yeah.
One cold Christmas Eve, I was up unnaturally late because we had all gone out to dinner, my parents, my baby sister, and I. We had come home to a warm living room, and Christmas Eve. Our stockings drooped from the mantel. Beside them, a special table bore a bottle of ginger ale and a plate of cookies. I had taken off my fancy winter coat and was standing on the heat register to bake my shoe soles and warm my bare legs. There was a commotion at the front door. It opened and a cold wind blew around my dress. Everyone was calling me. "Look who's here, look who's here." I looked. It was Santa Claus, whom I never, ever wanted to meet. Santa Claus was looming in the doorway and looked around for me. My mother's voice was thrilled. "Look who's here." I ran upstairs. Like everyone in their right mind, I feared Santa Claus, thinking he was God. I was still thoughtless and brute, reactive. I knew right from wrong, but it barely tested the possibility of shaping my own behavior, and then only from fear, and not yet from love. Santa Claus was an old man whom you never saw, but who nevertheless saw you. He knew when you'd been bad or good, and I had been bad. My mother called and called, enthusiastic, pleading. I wouldn't come down. My father encouraged me. My sister howled. I wouldn't come down. But I could bend over the stairwell and see. Santa Claus stood in the doorway with night over his shoulder, letting in all the cold air of the sky. Santa Claus stood in the doorway, monstrous and bright, powerless, ringing a loud bell and repeating, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." I never came down. I don't know who ate the cookies. For so many years now, I have known that this Santa Claus was actually a rigged-up Miss White who lived across the street, that I confused the dramatis personae in my mind, making of Santa Claus, God, and Miss White an awesome, vulnerable trinity. This is really a story about Miss White. Miss White was old. She lived alone in the big house across the street. She liked having me around. She plied me with cookies, taught me things about the world, and tried to interest me in finger painting, in which she herself took great pleasure. She would set up easels in her kitchen, tack enormous, slick soaking papers to their frames, and paint undulating undersea scenes, horizontal smears of color sparked by occasional vertical streaks, which were understood to be fixed kelp. I liked her. She meant no harm on earth, and yet, half a year after her failed visit as Santa Claus, I ran away from her again. That day, a day of the following summer, Miss White and I knelt in her yard while she showed me a magnifying glass. It was a large, strong hand lens. She lifted my hand and, holding it very still, focused a dab of sunshine on my palm. The glowing crescent wobbled, spread, and finally contracted to a point. It blurred. It burned. I was burned. I ripped my hand away and ran home crying. Miss White called after me, sorry, explaining, but I didn't look back. Even now I wonder, if I meet God, will he take and hold my bare hand in his and focus his eye on my palm and kindle that spot and let me burn? But no, it is I who misunderstood everything and let everybody down. Miss White, God, I am sorry I ran from you. I am still running, running from that knowledge, that I, that love from which there is no refuge. For you meant only love, and I felt only fear and pain. So once in Israel, love came to us incarnate, stood in the doorway beneath two worlds, and we were all afraid.
Oh.